Hey man, what does that mean? I mean, I've read that verse many times. So what does arise mean? It's an interesting word. The word rise, they put the letter A to it, which makes it like get up. It's not like something, well, maybe in the future. Arise, the word A, the letter A is put on rise to make it like urgent. Arise. It's not like this rise. Well, when you, in the morning, you rise up and you kind of scuttle to the bathroom or to the kitchen. A rise means get up now. Everybody say get up now.
Get up now.
How many believe we need to get up now?
Amen.
But what does shine mean? I mean, you know, what does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. Of course, a familiar scripture, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Father, thank you tonight for this word. Help us to rise up and shine like never before. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
We are definitely in the hour of gross darkness. No, it doesn't mean that during the day you can't see the sun. What it means that there is a great amount of spiritual ignorance and spiritual misunderstanding. You know, Tony told me that three people, I guess, made some really vulgar comments about our program or something. And I said, you know what? That's because we're making a difference.
Amen. That's right.
Listen, the enemy doesn't like light. He hates the light.
That's right.
And men don't realize it, but because their deeds are evil, they don't come to the light. But how do you know that God's mercy found us when we were doing some things?
Yes, that's right.
Arise and shine. For your light has come. You know, light is understanding. Light gives us perspective. Light shows us that this world is so temporary and we have eternity to look forward to. You see, how many people go to funerals year after year? They walk by the casket, but they never take time to realize one day they're going to be there. They never once just begin to think, well, what's going to happen to me after I die? You know, you hear the news that this one dies, that dies, this person dies over here, and then they can't go any further. But my question is, where are they? What are they doing? And everybody wants to say, rest in peace. Everybody that dies, rest in peace. I don't know if they're resting in peace. See, it's the job of the church to tell people, you cannot go to heaven without Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the job of the church to say Jesus is the only way. You can't come through Mohammed and Buddha and being a nice person. But see, just as they rejected Christ, they will try to reject the church. But guess what? It says God's glory is with you.
Amen.
You see, we couldn't do this on our own. If we didn't have the presence of God and God on our side, we could not take on a world of darkness. Gross darkness means gloom. There's a lot of gloomy folks you work with. There's a lot of people covered with darkness. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. See, the purpose of darkness is trying to cover up the light. But how do you know that darkness cannot win over light?
That's right.
One of the reasons I install these LED lights on the side is sometimes when I come in here, I haven't turned the lights on yet, and I can't even see where the button is. So those come on automatically when there's darkness. You know, that's what I think arise is. We should come on automatically when we come into darkness.
That's right.
We should come automatically, rise up. When I'm in a conversation and someone's searching for the truth, but they're in darkness, we should come and arise immediately.
Amen.
I want to talk about light. Colossians 4, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light is the knowledge of God. God's glory that came through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a great day it's going to be when you and I get to look right into the eyes of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right into the face of our Lord. All the times that you sacrificed and you pushed through when there was suffering and you didn't leave when the 70 left. All that stuff that you did for Christ will be so worth it, won't it?
Thank you, Lord.
He said, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Aren't you glad God's still in charge and still commanding? Amen. He's the great commander, the captain of our salvation. I want to talk to you about how to arise. Everybody say, how to arise.
How to arise.
Well, what does that mean? I'm going to give you some scriptures that will link this together. First of all, arise means to walk through something. Yeah. Genesis 13:17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, and I will give it unto you. Notice, when he was talking here to Abraham, he didn't say, just sit, just go hunting, go fishing. He said, rise up and walk.
Right.
How many believe that our walk is a walk of faith?
Yeah.
The walk of faith.
Amen.
You come to church by faith.
Yeah.
You pray by faith.
Yeah.
You give by faith.
Right.
So the first thing that God wants us to do is when we rise up to walk. Now, how many, when you get out of bed in the morning, when you get out and you rise up, how many just stand there for the rest of the day? You'd like to do something. You'd like to just fall back into bed. But anyhow, that's a different thing. We can help you out with counseling. But anyway, you get out of bed, you begin to what?
Walk.
You begin to walk. Something's happening. How many believe God wants something to happen in this church?
Amen.
He's got to find people that will rise up and begin to walk towards that vision. Walk towards what God has told us. Walk towards the anointing. Walk towards a life of sanctification, which is never preached anymore today. But there is a separate experience in God.
Amen.
Being born again, but then there's a separate experience of sanctification where a person decides, I'm not going to let the world control me.
That's right.
John and Charles Wesley were the ones that really preached this thing. And I see that everywhere. I see that people that, yeah, they love Jesus, they go to church, but the world has more pull on them. We need some sanctification.
Yes.
Amen. Arise and walk. Second thing, arise and hear his words.
Yes.
Amen. Jeremiah 18:2, arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. So it's not enough just to get out of bed. Not enough just to start walking. Okay, now I need to hear what thus saith the Lord is. Amen.
Amen.
You're not going to hear his words at the ballpark. You're not going to hear it in the movie theater. You're not going to hear it at your favorite store. Amen. God has raised up the church. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. You see, that's why God was so impressed with Peter, because Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, your flesh didn't reveal, my Father revealed. You see, Christians have got to have a new hunger for the Word of God.
Yes.
Arise and go down to the potter's house. Why is this significant? Because if I don't arise and go down to the potter's house, I ain't going to be worked on and finished.
That's right.
I'm going to be a lump clay. Huh? My whole Christian life. This is a big lump. Just lumping around. Just feeling sorry for myself.
That's right.
But then you have someone else who arose, went down to the potter's house, got on the wheel. You want to know the will of God? It's the wheel of God.
Yes.
When you're on that wheel, it's going around and around, and over here is blessing, and over here is dryness, and over here is a little bit of discipline, and over here it's God checking you more, that blessing, and they go around. up, one day you're down, one day everybody loves you, the next day nobody loves you. And all of a sudden the hand of God comes and puts his fingerprint on that area of your life that you've never surrendered.
Go ahead.
And you don't repent usually right away. Usually it takes a lot of God. But guess what? He knows your heart and he'll work with you.
Amen.
You see, Peter could preach this because Jesus said, you know, Peter, you're going to deny me. No, I'm not. Listen, Peter, get down to Potter's house and let my thumb go in there because you, there's something you don't see about you. And let me know he does it in love. So you can have a whole lot of churches across the world with just lumps. Help Jesus. It's the job of the pastor and the preacher and the evangelist and prophet not only to encourage but also to say, hey, keep on that wheel.
Yes. Yeah.
Don't blame others for where you are.
Amen. That's right.
Don't blame others because you've not been promoted in the kingdom yet.
Amen.
Something God wants to keep working on. Yes. Stay on the wheel.
Yes.
Turn somebody and say, stay on the wheel.
Stay on the wheel.
Is it always fun on the wheel?
No.
No. Is it always fun? No, but it's fulfilling.
Yes.
We live in a hedonistic society that materialism is just what we all need and want. And we also are a culture that we go from one pleasure to another pleasure.
Sure.
The problem is it doesn't fulfill you. Arise and get out of the potter's house. I'll be ready to rise and go back down there and get on that wheel again.
Amen.
Let God deal with that attitude. You know? Let God deal with that little thing there that, oh my goodness, Pastor Bjorn, I'm still on the wheel. One of these days I'm going to get off. One of these days I'll be off that wheel. Paul said, listen, I haven't arrived. You kid, you quit looking at me. I haven't arrived, but I do know this. He makes everything beautiful in his time.
Yes.
God has already made you a lot more beautiful than we were. Amen?
Amen.
Arise up and go down there. And this next thing, arise and share the word.
That's good.
You know, it's interesting that why God is working on us, he's expecting us to share the word too.
Yes.
You know, Brother Mike, because see, God uses imperfect vessels.
Right. Right.
And the thing is, when you share the word, God will back that word up. He said to Jonah 3:2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, preach unto it, the preaching I tell you. So not only is arise and shine going to the potter's house, it's going to Nineveh, it's sharing the word of God.
Right.
Now today, I remember back in the 70s, you still could go house to house and share the gospel. Then the Jehovah Witnesses, which are a call, and the Mormons, which are a call, caught on to that, and now people won't even answer the door. Hello. But we still have a responsibility to the people that God puts around us, wherever it is. Pray and ask God to give you opportunities to arise and share the word. There's always someone that needs the word.
Amen.
Next one, arise and build the church.
Yes.
1 Chronicles 22:19. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. You know, just being totally transparent here, I'm just being totally down to earth, rubber meets the road, chicken soup. I don't know if the percentage of people that go to church or are Christians really have in their hearts to build the church.
Mm.
I think we live in such of a needy type of a culture, of world, And so my concept of the church, it's not really to build it. It's just to, you know, I need my daily, my weekly fix. I understand that. That's all part of being fit. But the concept for a lot of believers is not help building the church.
That's right.
Sure. Now, got what?
That's right. Come on.
And we wonder why demons rule.
Mm.
A generation is being lost to atheism, agnosticism,
right,
to drugs, immorality. Because our concept of the church needs to be, we need to rise up.
Amen.
Right. And realize the church has the only authority on earth. I'm spitting, I know I'm preaching better. Good.
Amen.
The church has the only authority to bind hell, to loosen heaven. Coming in and out of the house of God casually with no commitment, no support, that's not rising up.
Come on.
And I'm believing that God's going to shake this generation. See, young people don't want to come to a retirement home church or a church that's dying or a church that's not excited. Young people want excitement, they want motivation, and God forbid that we would block them by not caring to build the church, by finding my spot. Give them a real praise.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Arise, what is your spot? Are you building on the wall? Are you just coming just to hear a preacher? We know you need to be fed, but the Bible says set your heart and your soul to seek God, because this is His work. This is His work. I get real concerned about people who criticize this work. It's not my work, honey.
Come on.
Hey, you're going to have to answer before God.
Amen.
I said they're going to have to answer before God.
Right.
God did this thing. I didn't. Judgment now has begun in the house of God. What's he talking about? God so loves his church. He's not going to let anything defile it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Rise up and build the church. How about this? Arise and speak comfort. 2 Samuel 19:7. Now therefore arise, go forth, and speak comfortably unto thy servants. We need to rise up and speak comfort to our brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is no place for criticism or my opinion on someone else's spirituality.
Right.
There is no place for me to judge whether you like the worship songs, the sermon, whether you like the air conditioning on or not. We are to speak comfortably to each other.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what I want to do. Hello. People sometimes come to me, tell me about this person, about this, and I say, listen, I don't care. God heard them. They'll give account to the idle words. Prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. My job is to speak comfortable to them. Say, hey, man, God loves you. You don't really have to be that ugly. God never said that. I wanted to, Jerry. Thank you, Jesus. Rise. Let me say rise up.
Rise up.
Arise and take heed. Everybody say take heed. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Let me just stop right there. You see, we all get prophecies and everything, but let me tell you about New Testament prophecy. Number one, it's conditional.
Right.
Old Testament prophecy was not conditional. If they said, thus saith the Lord to the king, you're going to die, if you don't repent, they would die. New Testament prophecy is conditional. If I don't do what God says, I don't let it work in my life, and I try to, and I become proud and arrogant, that prophecy will never come to pass.
That's
no
right.
matter how great it was. 2 Peter 1:19, wherefore, also we have a more sure prophecy, wherefore you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. Now, wow, I mean, can you imagine if the Apostle Peter was here and he said, can I just have a one-on-one with you? And he takes you in the office or the coffee bar, and all he says to you is, take heed. I mean, a lot of questions, what do you mean? Peter, I'm spiritual. You want me to take heed? He's talking to believers here. Take heed that your decisions in life are not based just on the prophetic words you've got, although they will help you fight warfare, and it is directional for you where you're going. But take heed that there's a more sure word, that the word of God that says, husbands, love your wife. strive to do to your husbands, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Take heed to that word, and don't think because I have a prophetic word that that's more important than the written rhema word. And I have been through 30, 40 with people, and they listen. I don't need a church. God told me this. I got a prophecy here. I'm leaving and stuff. Okay, great. You're not listening to the word.
That's right.
I don't want the Lord to have to say, Bill, you didn't take heed.
That's good.
I want to rise up. How about you? Turn to somebody and say, I want to rise up.
I want to rise up.
Now, we're dealing with gross darkness. It's everywhere. One of the things we cannot do is magnify the darkness.
Right.
I said we can't magnify the darkness.
Right. Amen.
I mean, I used to watch the news all the time. I'd say about the last year or 2 years, it's gone, yeah, I can see the headlines, okay, this happened, okay, yeah, I'm going to channel on.
Right.
And I realized not all news is totally honest, it's not all, so it's biased, everybody, you know what I'm saying? So you know what? I want the good news. I want to fill my heart, my mind with things and make judgments and stuff because someone else had an experience and they tried to taint the reputation or the character of someone else. I don't know. I wasn't there. All I do know is I pray for people. I pray for that governor that is going to resign. I don't know what he did, but all I know is a soul. Jesus saved him. You know, we got to be people of mercy. No, does that mean I agree? I don't agree with all that stuff. But my job is to pray. Who knows? God would save someone like that. The guy could turn the world upside down. You see, we don't see that. We want to be judges, and we think we're smarter, and we think we could never do that. That's not true. The Bible says you be careful that you take heed that you don't fall. Hello. I remember when one of the evangelists fell with the PTL thing, and I remember about 3 months after that, another famous evangelist said, this person's a cancer to the body of Christ. And 6 months later, he fell. I said 6 months later, God's restored them both. Thank God. Praise the Lord. That was a hard time in the body of Christ.
That's right.
So, all judgments have been committed to Jesus, he said.
That's right.
Father, not to me. Not to me. And not to you. Amen. The Holy Spirit has to have an atmosphere that's conducive to his nature. He does not like tradition. He does not like, I'm more spiritual. He does not like control. He does not like a separation of races and separation of ideals or I have an attitude because that person didn't vote like I did. He don't like that. And he don't have to show up if we harbor things we ought not. Just go on. There are little things going on. He'll fly down somewhere else. That's what concerns me more than anything. Because without him, we're form without frame. We're clouds and wind without rain. There's a form of godliness in the last days that denies the power of God. Take my chariot right
now. So hold on, let me check.
You see, God moves so powerful that you'll be coming a half hour early to get to the door. But the harvest, precious souls Jesus died for. Can you imagine hanging 6 hours? I can't imagine 10 minutes.
Right. That's good.
6 hours. And they all hang. We really understand the price he paid for this generation. I'm not in, you know, John and Charles Wesley's generation. I'm not in George Whitfield. I'm in this generation.
That's right.
Yeah. My life is like a book, and everyone in here one day is going to close quickly.
That's
right. And it's over. What are we going to do? Be another church? Or are we going to rise? to something higher. One of the ways, as I close, he says, you need to rise up in your thoughts. Because my thoughts are way up high. And we should pray that often about giving our thoughts. 66 books of his thoughts. But you've got to, we have to assimilate those thoughts into our thinking patterns. It doesn't just happen. It happens by evolution, transformation. That takes time. It's a replacement. It's, I release this to take this. How do you want to leave this life? Old, grumpy, church folks.
And them kids around here. Rough loud. Can't believe someone's sitting in my pew. Can't believe it.
I can't. God did it to show how arrogant you are.
Well, I have no one over here. No one recognizes me in this place.
That's not true. I know who you are. I can see your face. Don't they know who I am? Yeah, you've told us who you are by your actions and attitude. Tell me. Oh my. We're all in the same boat, honey. I said we're all in the same boat, honey. We all have to deal with it the same. But what we do need is everybody in the boat where they're supposed to be in the boat.
Yeah. That's right.
We're not in a cruise ship. If you're supposed to be helping with the sail there, if you're supposed to be helping with the meals there, if you're supposed to be helping figuring out how we're going to get all the people to ask, whatever it is, we need to do it together.
Right.
Come on.
The song in the 70s, the phrase, not spiritual, but kind of, we may never pass this way again. We won't. We'll never have another opportunity.
That's right.
Right.
Amen.
Rise, get up, walk, shine, get on the wheel. I think if you're honest, there's been times, personal life and church life, you felt this. You had no idea what was going on. Things. A couple of things.
Come on.
But I've learned, and I think Terry mentioned about Terry. I can't control that. I'm not the water. So please shape me. If no one else can shape, I want to get in shape. Start with me. So, Father, we thank you tonight. May your church arise and shine throughout the world. May we fulfill your good pleasure. May the harvest come in. May we see it face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.